What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 150 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Kraut. 150. Can't believe it. Glad to have you all along for this. This is awesome. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Had a great time this weekend myself. Friday night, wife and I went out for a little happy hour. Came home, grilled some burgers, fired up the truck race, which was awesome. Saturday did some family stuff, which was cool. Sunday went to the Kitty Cats game, which they tried very hard to give that one away, but the Chargers wanted the win less than the Lions, so the Lions got the W. And crazy enough, we are undefeated still with that tie from week one. I'll take it. And before we left for the game, I threw a little mini chicken on the smoker. Came back. That thing was perfect. I am so excited with that smoker purchase from a few weeks ago. Absolutely love it. And I tell you guys, I loved, absolutely loved the fact that we had a Sunday night race. Got to go to the game. Didn't have to worry about missing the race or watching it on DVR. Was able to come home, eat dinner, settle in for the race, which was awesome. Here's the crazy part. For me, it's race weekend. I cannot believe it. Feels like every couple weeks I've been able to say that this year, which is absolutely amazing. So excited to get out to Richmond here later this week, and so excited to go check out a new track as well. And I'm very excited for tonight's show. Got to tell you guys, it's 150, so that's kind of cool in and of itself. Tonight's show has not come without its struggle because some traffic getting home from work. I recorded with Brian Newdorf before I kicked this thing off, and got the guest coming up here in just a couple minutes as well. And I had to reset the router because all of a sudden I couldn't connect my computer to the internet. I couldn't get the show sheets to print. The printer wasn't connecting. So it was a little rushing, so to speak, when I got home trying to get everything ready to go here. But here we are nonetheless. So I'm very excited. Lots to talk about from this weekend. Round one of the trucks is over. The Xfinity Series is ready to kick off their first race this weekend, and the first Cup playoff race is in the books, and of course, week one of the Lap Traffic playoffs is in the books, so there's a lot that went on this weekend. I even joked on Twitter, I could do the whole show on the truck race if I wanted to, because that thing was crazy. I won't, but it could. All right. Let's get things rolling. Before I do, as always, the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads has you covered for sports entertainment, so go check out bigheadsmedia.com. Lots going on over there. I'm pretty excited to see how that all shakes up. Another big show lined up for you guys today. From the ARCA Bernard Series, Christian Eckes will be on the show tonight to talk his ARCA season, running for the ARCA Championship, and he ran the truck race on Friday night, which is awesome. Get to that. I got you covered. All three series from the truck race, social media, some silly season news today as well. Brian Newdorf will have your Richmond forecast, your lucky dog lap down picks, and of course the lap traffic fantasy to close it out with a new leader. All right, let's get tonight's guest dialed up. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 15 JBL Audio Toyota for Venturini Motorsports. He's in a battle for the ARCA Menards Championship, and he started on the pole this past Friday night in the truck race in Las Vegas. Welcome to the show, Christian Eckes. Christian, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm pretty good. Just kind of hanging out, ready for this podcast. I always love doing these things. It's kind of relaxed and makes it a lot of fun for us.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'm so happy to have you on. Lots to talk about. You had a lot going on this weekend.
Yeah.
But before we get to all that, so I was talking with Tommy a little bit beforehand, and he said that you are like a diehard fantasy football player. So you and I are already best friends there. So, how did that favor for you this weekend before we get to the important stuff?
Well, I'm in three leagues. The one I got completely blown apart. I think I had D.D. Westbrook and somebody else that scored 0 points. I don't remember, but it was not a good week in that one. And the other two, like Nick Chubb, had to score like 19.5, and he did. So I won that one.
Nice.
And the other league, even though I started Big Ben, he gave me 3 points. I started Odell. And he brought home a solid one last night, gave me 27 points. So pretty solid weekend.
That's awesome. It's funny you mentioned Big Ben, because in one league, I took advantage of the fact that the person who had Big Ben did not have a backup quarterback. And I started Mahomes, and I had Brady on my bench. So I made a trade for Brady for Sammy Watkins. So that league's looking pretty stellar at the moment. Yeah. Not gonna lie. Yeah, no,
that was a good move there.
Yes, absolutely. All right, man. Let's talk about some racing. You had a very busy weekend, Vegas to Indiana. You know, talk about the travel side of that. Do you know what time it is yet? Is the jet lag gone?
Yeah, I'm still not caught up on sleep by any means, but it was rough. It was really rough. And the fact that my flight was delayed got me really nervous, because it was commercial and I had to fly to Charlotte and then Louisville.
That's brutal.
So I took off from Charlotte, I think, around like 11:30. I was supposed to be about 10:45, I think. And I got in 45 minutes late, and I think I literally rolled down the hallway as they were calling my name for like the last call deal. So,
oh, wow.
I dodged a bullet there. And then I got to Salem about, or I guess Louisville, about 9:45, 9:30, something like that. Went to the hotel real quick, showered, went back, went to the driver's meeting, took a nap, went and practiced, took a nap. Went to qualify, took a nap, and then I raced.
Did you have like 9 alarms set for all that too, just so you didn't miss
anything? Yeah. And the bad thing was, I felt like every nap I took, I actually got more tired.
I believe every minute of that.
Because I can't sleep on planes. And the whole ride to Vegas, I didn't sleep. And the whole ride to Louisville, I didn't sleep. So I tried to get something. So I got about 2.5 hours after a race, which... It was a rough Sunday.
I believe every minute of that. When did you get into Vegas?
I got into Vegas on Wednesday, I think.
Okay.
I never really got acclimated to the jet lag. I woke up at 3 a.m. every morning. So. Wow.
Well, and it's got to suck too, being in Las Vegas and 18 and not being able to have fun in Las Vegas.
Yeah, just kind of a
couple more years.
We're at the casino and everything. We were at South Point, and you really can't even do anything other than go to like the arcade and bowl. So
right,
yeah.
All right, Matt. So tell everyone a little bit about your background, how you got into racing. You've been around a few different legends and late model series. Fill everyone in a little bit on your journey to what got you to the Arca Menards series.
Yeah. So I started in Bandoleros. It's actually kind of a funny story. My dad's friend raced, and we went to the racetrack, and, you know, I watched NASCAR and stuff like that, but I really never had, desire to really race. You know, I saw these little cars around going around, and I was like, that could be fun. So we'll see what happens. And I went and rented a car one week and had a lot of fun at it. So I decided to end up buy one and race there for a couple years. By the time that got, I don't want to say easy, but started getting ready to move up, and, you know, I went to Legend Cars for a year. Then it's just kind of been a steady progression from there. Started late models with Empire Racing for a year. Then I went to Junior Motorsports and was in their development program for about a year and a half. And then, I kind of got involved with Toyota after I won the Derby with the super late model in 2016. From there, I talked to Billy at Venture Motorsports, I guess, in 2015. So I guess you could say I got involved with Toyota then, but it's just kind of been crazy ever since. You know, I really can't believe that I was racing a Bendel Aero, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, or actually 6 years ago. And now I'm running trucks and ARCAs. So it's been a little bit of a crazy ride over the past decade, but it's been a lot of fun, and looking forward to hopefully a few more decades.
That's so cool. I love the fact that you're like, oh, this looks like it could be a little fun thing. And here you are now, flying from Vegas to Salem over a 24-hour period and battling for a championship, which is.
And the bad thing is when I was actually started in Bendel Aeros, I was so bad that my dad was like, I don't know if this is for you, man.
Pick a stick and ball sport, son.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool to look back at it now and be like, oh, damn, I proved you wrong. Huh?
That's awesome. Mic drop.
Yeah.
All right, man. So let's talk about the truck series first. 10 starts over the last 2 years with 6 top tens.
Man, to have be a lot more than that too.
Right, I know. So to have such and to have so many intermediate starts with gaps and all that, and to be that consistent, that's awesome. So obviously, you gotta love the way the trucks handle. And I assume that's probably what you're hoping your next step is. You know, I don't get into the whole contract things and all that kind of stuff, but it's looking like it's coming pretty easy to you out there.
Yeah, honestly, you may think that stat line's pretty good, but it honestly kind of pisses me off every time I hear it, because it should be way better than that. You know, I felt like we should have won Gateway this year and last year. Didn't have that. And there's been a couple races this year. I mean, we've sat on 3 poles and only have 2 top fives. So, you know, I can't say enough about Cobblers Motorsports. They give me fast trucks on a regular basis. And, you know, this past weekend we finally put one together after, you know, a couple week disaster there, I guess you could say.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a little frustrating when you look at that deal, because, you know, it doesn't reflect the amount of speed that we've had and the runs that we've had too. So, well, but yeah, no, it's been a blast, man.
So first off, what I have to say is I love the fact that you're pissed off about that fact. I love that you're mad about that, because that just shows the passion and the itch that you've got, which I think is fantastic. So what I want to ask you now is you've run some regular season races. You put you put the truck on the pole on the last race of the first round of the playoffs. So guys obviously out there competing for their lives, their championship out there. Did you notice, you started on the pole, finished third, you were up front all day. Did you notice like a difference out there on the track, you know, running up there with Austin Hill, Ross Chastain? You know, did it feel like a different race out there with those guys, based on the fact that they were running for the playoffs and all that?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. I mean, the truck series drivers are super aggressive as it is right now. You know, for whatever reason that is, it's just, it is one thing. It takes a lot to go from ARCA, and not that ARCA isn't a competitive series, cause it is, but you know, I feel like there's, you know, 6 cars that are good in ARCA, and you know, they will definitely be a threat, but you know, when you go to the truck series, there's 15. So
sure,
it just, the intensity level is huge compared to the 2 series. And, you know, to get acclimated to that, you know, it takes a lot. And, you know, I'm still trying to, you know, it just takes so much, and you have to be aggressive every lap and every race. And, you know, that's kind of what you see in every truck series race, at least from my eyes. You know, you see Ross making crazy moves and aggressive moves, and, you know, just it was kind of just a normal truck race to me. You know, obviously that was my first mile and a half race, but you know, it kind of feels just like how you watch it. You know, it's kind of exciting and crazy to watch.
So, talk about like what was going through your mind when you're on the track, seeing these guys with all these motor issues. You know, like, your truck ran pretty well all night, you know, like, you know, as that's coming over from the spotter, like, and you're seeing this on the track, like, are you like, what the hell's going on? Or are you just, you know, dialed in?
I was, Yeah, I mean, I was pretty focused, but when Johnny and Matt Crafton blew up at the same exact time, like literally, because I was right behind them and it was fire out of both cars at the same exact time. Like when you see that, you kind of just have to stand there in awe of what just happened and be very confused. But other than that, I mean, yeah, man, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So do you have any other truck races on the schedule here? I know they only got four left. Do you have any left?
Yeah, I have Martinsville and Homestead, and hopefully I can go win Martinsville so we can be in the – or locked in. Or hopefully Riley honestly wins Talladega too. That'd be nice. So we're locked into the owner's deal. But, you know, I think we're fourth right now with the 51 team. So, you know, we've got a pretty solid shot at it. Hopefully I can go compete for a championship at Homestead.
Excellent. I love it. All right. Let's transition over to ARCA. Ran a few races in 2016. You ran about half the season in 17 and 18. You're in your first full-time season out there competing for a championship. Talk about the season.
I'm still a rookie. I don't know how or why, but I'm still a rookie, and I started like 32 races before this year.
You know, the rookie I don't know, is it the contingency or whatever they place around that is definitely interesting across all series.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
very
a
weird.
I'm a 5-year rookie right now, 4 years, something like that.
That's like a double red shirt sophomore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
So talk about your season, how you guys have grown with the team over there at Venturini Motorsports.
Yeah, it's been a rough one. You know, there's obviously the Salem race, which I had to miss due to, I guess, sepsis or whatever the hell I had. From there, you know, we wrecked at Talladega the week after. And, you know, there's just been a lot of missed opportunities. You know, Madison, I felt like we should have won. And threw that one away. Just got a little greedy there with about 15 to go and spun myself out. And from there, I mean, there's just so many races that we've gave up points and gave up opportunities at wins. And, you know, we have three, but I don't think that really represents the speed that we've had. And, you know, the amount of determination that everybody on my team's had to run good and to run well. So, you know, it's been a solid year so far. You know, we've been on a really good hot streak here, really just kind of turned everything around, from Elko, which was probably, one of our worst races. You know, just as far as a momentum standpoint, and we were the furthest behind in points and everything. For now, I think this is our fifth top two in a row since then. So, you know, that's one thing that we've been really good at this year is, you know, kind of taking the hardships and turning them back around. And after Salem and Talladega, we were able to win at Nashville. And, you know, it's one thing that we do really well. We just have to continue up this momentum we've had and hopefully end the year out with two wins and a championship.
So one thing I want to ask is, you know, you three wins up there competing. And, you know, even like when we were talking about the trucks, you know, the stat line isn't indicative of what your season is. You're a young kid, man. Where do you allow it to be a learning curve for you versus the competitiveness for you?
Yeah. I mean, you learn from every race. You know, one way or another, it's your fault. You know, either you didn't get the car good enough, and sure, I mean, it's 50-50 on that, but, you know, at the same time, you're the one that's giving them the information, and you're the one that needs to provide the correct information. So it's halfway on you if you don't get it right.
Sure.
It's just stuff like that. You know, I like to think of myself as a super self-critical person, and I feel like that's the only way that you can really get better at what you do. So, That's one thing that I feel like my whole team really is good at is being self-critical. And, you know, we've learned from our mistakes for sure. And we've gotten better and we've improved every race that we've run this year. And looking forward to the next couple, because I still feel like that the improvement side of it isn't over. You know, hopefully we can continue this. And like I said, I feel like we've got the momentum to go do what we need to do the last two.
Well, you know, so speaking of the last two, you got Lucas Oil in Kansas coming up. A couple races ago, 100-point deficit in a series that still runs on just a straight point standings. You go into this weekend with a 70-point deficit, and now it's pennies, basically. You have 5 points back, two races to go. You've got a battle set up here for the championship with your teammate Michael Self. Did you think a couple races ago you'd be able to close that kind of gap? And what was the team meeting like after this past weekend at Salem when it's like, all right, it's game on, guys?
Yeah, honestly, like I said, after we missed that race and we gave up like 200 points or something like that.
Sure.
We were only 80 back then, and, you know, honestly, it felt like we would have closed the gap earlier. But like I said, there's just so many missed opportunities in between. We wrecked a Talladega and put us another 100 points behind. So we've really come back from like 180 or 200 or something like that, and slowly caught our way back up. But I felt like it honestly should have been faster. Like I said, we've had so much speed, and felt like we've run better than Michael on a weekly basis. You know, obviously there's a few racetracks here and there that they'd beat us, but, you know, as a whole, I felt like we were the stronger team. And, they've had a bunch of mechanical issues. I missed a race and crashed Talladega pretty big. So, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like both teams were pretty strong. So if you take those two out, I feel like it even out. It's kind of crazy that we're only one spot back. I don't think Arca's had that in quite a while. With two races to go, so it's going to be exciting for sure. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, Michael's one of my really good friends, and it's fun to battle your friend for a championship. So, just looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So, like, when you're in the garage now, like, is it just could be like a little half nod and grin at each other when you pass each other out there?
Yeah, not really. Yeah, that's one good thing about me and Michael. We kind of separate the off track friendship and the on track friendship. It's been we're pretty fierce the rivals on the racetrack, but you know, we really don't let any of that come in between us as friends off the racetrack. So, you know, it's been pretty fun to see him, you know, have a good year. I feel like he thinks the same as me. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. You know, obviously he didn't have the weekend he wanted at Salem. And, you know, like I said so many times, it's 25 teams strong enough to come back and still challenge us majorly over the next two, so we need to bring our A game and see what happens.
Absolutely. All right, so as a fan, you know, I obviously hate off weeks, right? And you guys got a couple off weeks here before you guys go wrap up these last two races. Based on where you guys are at now, is that good for you guys, you know, to go out, keep – you know, regrouping and giving you some time to learn and get a feel for things for these last two races? Or, you know, do you want to just go out there and race this weekend because of the momentum that you guys have going on right now?
Yeah. Obviously it's good for the guys. Cause you know, we're running the same car that we ran at Salem at Lucas Oil. So it's nice to not have that summer stretch where we're running the same car, you know, 3 weeks in a row.
Sure.
It's nice to have that, but, you know, obviously we want to take the momentum and we want to go now. That's the one thing that sucks. We every time we've won this year, we've had it a week or two in between, and it kind of dies that momentum down a little bit. But, you know, like I said, the last five, it really hasn't been the case. We've, you know, consistently strung off good runs and shots at wins and top two finishes and doing everything that I thought this team was capable of early in the year. It's taken a lot of hard work to get it where it is, but I truly feel like we're in the right spot here.
That's awesome. Christian, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
You can follow me at Christian Eckes pretty much on everything. I think Facebook's just Christian Eckes. I got a YouTube. I don't really post it a lot, but has some old end cars there from 2000-something. I don't really know. But, like I said, I'm just looking forward to the next four. I got two truck races and two ARCA races, and feel like we got a shot to win all of them, so let's see what happens, but just look forward to it.
That's awesome, man. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Christian for coming on the show tonight, man. Good luck the next two ARCA races, the two truck races. Good luck in fantasy football, and let's do this again soon and hopefully recap a championship for you.
Yeah, awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, man, good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? Awesome. Awesome dude right there, Christian. 18 years old, dude is poised, put together, ready to go out there and compete. I'm blown away at how awesome some of these young guys are in the sport. You know, Tyler Ankrum, young guy that's been on the show a few times. Christian now, a couple other guys throughout the year, man. They got to put together, which is just awesome that they're carrying around that much respect and poise. And man, I just think it's absolutely awesome. And it's very cool to get to talk to some of these guys coming up in some of the developmental series and get to know them a little bit more as well. I think that's awesome. And then when they're out there winning cup races, maybe they'll remember the Live Traffic podcast. All right, let's talk a little racing from this past weekend from Las Vegas. Kick it off with the trucks, where Ross Chastain picked up the stage 1 and 2 wins and race winner Austin Hill. All right, this race was absolutely crazy. Ross dominated this thing early on, as he has a few of these races over the summer part of the schedule. Unfortunately for him, he was not able to close it out, picked up a couple playoff points along the way. And to be honest, I hope losing this one doesn't come back to haunt him, because the points are just absolutely crazy close right now. And I'll get to that in a minute, where I think I obviously don't hope, but I think there could be a small issue here with how the rest of this thing could play out. So don't call me crazy yet. Give me a minute as I slam up the microphone there. All right, let's talk about Thor Sport. Wow, what a night, and not in a good way. You know, talk engine issues, you know, all that, regardless of what happened. Horrible night. Christian mentioned it a little bit ago. You know, Sauter and Crafton, like, timed perfectly. Engine blew, same time, same lap. That was, I'd never seen anything like that before. That was absolutely nuts. The only guy who finished the race for Thor is the only guy who didn't make the playoffs, and that being Ben Rhodes, who finished 8th. Crafton, who was out, the only one who lucked out when it was all said and done. Get to that in a minute, too. You know, how crazy. A Friday night truck race, Las Vegas, Friday the 13th. Like, if you are a superstitious person, that has the makings for it as well. Like, as shy, the only thing missing was a black cat running on the backstretch at some point during the thing. It was nuts. So, can I just say, what a win and a declaration statement this was for Hattori Racing and Austin Hill. Started 7th, up front all day, finished 3rd in Stage 1, 2nd in Stage 2. That truck just got faster as the night went on. Couldn't imagine if Moffitt had won this race and swept around. That would have been a pretty cool moment to be able to do that. That is an accolade not held by many. I was talking with Andrew Cancian and Sherwin Friday night. I couldn't remember. I thought Logano had done it once in the Cup Series, and he definitely did a couple years back. But, man, to say you swept a playoff round, that would be something. But anyways, you know, so Hill wins Daytona. Might not have had made the playoffs otherwise. But he wins Daytona, comes out, wins the truck season finale at MIS, and comes out and wins the final race of round one of the playoffs. Puts a stamp on the fact that not only does he belong in the truck playoffs, but he should not be taken lightly as we head into round two of the truck playoffs. You know, talk was Moffitt and Ross Chastain, but I definitely think Austin Hill needs to be in the conversation at this point. A couple notables from this, all 3 Kyle Busch Motorsports trucks in the top 10. I'm sure it still stings a little bit that he didn't have a truck qualify for the playoffs, but that is a step in the right direction. And that 51 truck's been hot all year. You know, maybe he needs to figure out a way to make that one of the primary car trucks for him out there, because that truck has been crazy fast all year. Rookie Sheldon Creed in 4th, Todd Gilliland 5th, Brandon Poole 6th, Harrison Burton in 9th, and then Tyler Ankrum barely finished with a high enough position to move him into the next round, which he did. Finished 11th there. All right, so going into this race, Ankrum needed some help to make it to the next round, and help he got with the issues that Thor Sport had. Ankrum was able to sneak into the next round, which is awesome. You know, I've really gotten to know him this year, which is really cool. Very happy for him that he was able to make it to the next round. And with the exception of Moffitt, who has a sizable point lead, I think, to take him to Homestead, I would say it is anyone's ball game to fill up the final three spots. You know, this is the last round to set the final four at Homestead. You know, round two of the Truck Series is, unfortunately, this kills me, about a month away before we even get to the first race of round two at Talladega on October 12th. You guys know that breaks my heart, that we are about a month away. But the fact that second to sixth are only separated by 12 points. So if we assume, we're all going to assume here, whether you want to or not, because you're listening to it. But if we assume Moffitt's going to make it to Homestead, that makes the other three spots open for the taking. And the fact that they race at Talladega. Talladega opens the second round of the truck race. Like, that could be a mess in and of itself right there, and could completely flip-flop where we're at in the standing. So the 12-point differential from second to sixth right now, I think, is irrelevant until we get through Talladega. And then we go to Martinsville, that's going to be I'm going to steal a line from good old JR. That's going to be a slobber knocker right there. These things are going to be beating and banging off each other, because they're going to potentially going to have to make up from some damage from Talladega. So these last four truck races are going to be the most amazing races all season, which I am very excited about. That said, I mentioned earlier about Ross and Austin Hill. So Hill obviously needs to be taken seriously, and it's possible that Hattori could win back-to-back championships with two different drivers. In the truck series, you've got the potential of an owner winning back-to-back with two different drivers, which is a perfect segue over to the Xfinity series, because Tyler Reddick could win back-to-back championships with two different teams, which is a pretty cool perspective. But that said, where I think this could have potentially hurt Ross not getting that win, he could have really used 7 points. He picked up the two with the stage wins, but could have used the fifth, the five extra for the win there. Like I said, because of how close it is, he's now in third, 1 point back behind Austin Hill, putting him right in the middle of things. Not to say that I don't think he's going to be able to, you know, make it to Homestead, but there's a good possibility that we have no idea who makes it to Homestead with how crazy Talladega could be. So, you know, unlike the Xfinity Series, the Cup Series, which can be a little bit more predictable, I think anything could happen, which adds to the excitement a little bit. You guys know I'm not a huge fan of a plate race in the playoffs, just because, you know, these guys race the whole season. You know, why let a gimmick race, so to speak, impact a potential championship and take somebody out that's won races, been consistent, and all that. So from that side of things, I'm not a fan of plate racing in the playoffs, but that's a whole nother ball game there. And how about Grant Enfinger not making it through to the next round? He was a guy I'm like, all right, he's into the, like, he was the golden one. Like, I'm like, he's got it. It's no problem. And then engine issues, and boom, he was already on the cutoff line going into this race. And man, the regular season truck championship, Grant Enfinger is not making it to the next round. That's crazy. I can't believe the weirdness around Thor Sport this past weekend. Absolutely crazy. All right, let's transition over to the Xfinity Series race here. All right, so Christopher Bell picks up the Stage 1 and Stage 2 wins with race winner Tyler Reddick. All right, I'm not going to lie to you, Lap Traffic Nation. I ran out of time this weekend. Did not have time to watch the race. I did read some headlines on the race, so the opinion here on the race is going to be a little limited tonight. That said, if you aren't convinced of the big three in the Xfinity series, I don't know what you've been watching. Reddick, Bell, and Custer finish the season finale in the top four and are 1-2-3 in the standings after the reset. And all that I will say is Allgaier, who I thought was going to pull this off, and again, in my opinion, needed to, finish second in both stages. And it looked like, from what I was reading, he could have had a shot there at the end, and I might have looked like a genius. Finishes with a top five, which is good, but, you know, didn't do a whole lot for him in terms of getting some extra and much-needed playoff points. And how about Elliott Sadler? While he finished the lap down, still able to go out there, pick up a top 10 in his last race. It's been a minute since he raced. I think it was back at Richmond in the spring. Absolutely awesome there. Very cool. Some notables, two rookies, Gregson, John Hunter with top 10s, Brandon Jones with a third place finish. And all I'm going to say is I'm glad the Xfinity Series regular season is over. Not trying to talk bad about it. I will offer a strong critique here. I was really bummed, as you all know, as it pertains to the fact there was not a bubble, which I get is contradicting to the fact that I complained about the bubble in the Cup race last week, but that's due to the oversaturation of the Cup playoff field. The fact that there has been no bubble in the Xfinity race and the field's been set for like over 2 months, and that's, I think, what kills me the most, is that once that, you know, stretch of the road course races where we had three out of four were road courses, you know, that pretty much sealed the deal on where we were at from an Xfinity Series playoff field perspective. So where am I at with the playoff in the field now that we have it set? I've said it over and over again. Big three, just like last year in the Cup Series. I personally would have felt cheated last year had Harvick, Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. not made it to Homestead. And I feel the exact same way in the Xfinity Series this year. If Bell, Custer, and Reddick aren't at Homestead racing for the championship, I'm going to feel cheated. 17 wins between the three of them. Six for Bell, six for Custer, five for Reddick. Reddick wins the regular season championship. The only real separation between these guys is the couple extra stage wins that Bell has. These guys have raced each other for wins all season. I hope they are racing for the championship at Homestead. To know that those three could be out there on the track racing for the championship, coming down to one race, I think that will make for a great race, great TV. I think that's fantastic, and I really hope those three are in Homestead in a couple weeks. That said, so if like we assumed with the Truck Series that Moffitt's going to make it to Homestead, if we assume that Bell, Custer, and Reddick are going to Homestead, that only leaves us that one spot. And I'll be honest, after the top three, the points from 4th to 12th are only separated by 17 points. So realistically, based on how sporadic some of these guys have had finishes throughout the year, you could make an argument for a good handful of these guys to maybe pick up that fourth spot at Homestead, which is why I've been talking about Justin Allgaier so much and getting some of these extra points that he just hasn't been able to do. He's sitting there in sixth. That said, you know, it could be Austin Cindric, Chase Briscoe, Allgaier, Annette, Gregson, Brandon Jones. Hell, Justin Haley's wrapped and pulled off a bunch of top tens. If a couple of these guys have some bed wrecks, if Haley's able to pick up some top tens, he could make it at least to the next round. So it really could be a race for one spot. And the fact that you could potentially have, you know, five or six guys racing for the next round and for one spot, I think that's going to be an exciting race in and of itself. So we'll get a bubble here eventually, just not from the regular season. That said, I am ecstatic to go to my first two playoff races this weekend with the Xfinity Series starting round one and the Cup Series race two of the playoffs. I cannot wait. Two night races. I am very, very excited about that. All right, let's talk about that Sunday night Cup race that we got. So Joey Logano picked up the stage one win, with Martin Truex Jr. picking up the stage two and race win. So Let's talk about it. Martin Truex Jr. ended a 10-race winless streak this weekend at Las Vegas, picked up the win opening the playoffs. Last win coming from his dominating performance at Sonoma back in mid-June. Can't believe it's been since mid-June since Martin Truex Jr. has been to Victory Lane. I'll tell you, I enjoyed the cup race this weekend. I enjoyed it because there was drama. I enjoyed the fact we had comers and goers as the race transitioned from day to night, which is another reason why I really enjoyed the fact that this was a night race. I am not opposed to Sunday night racing. I don't think a 7 p.m. or 7:20 drop of the green flag is horrible on a Sunday night from a person watching on TV. Now, I get if you were at the race or if they were to do a 7:20 start on the East Coast and the race ends at 10:11 on a Sunday night and you're at the race, you know, fighting through traffic, getting home and all that kind of stuff for a workday Monday morning could be a potential issue. So the fact that this was on the West Coast, you know, took advantage of the time there. So it ended a little early. If you were at the race out there, ended at the perfect time. If you're watching on the East Coast, I'm a big fan of that, and I think they need to take advantage of that and do that a little bit more often. That's just my opinion. All right, let's continue on. Back-to-back races with struggles for the 18. He is apparently not a fan of lap traffic. I'm guessing probably not coming out of the lap traffic podcast anytime soon, although I don't think that's indicative of the racing this weekend. He just doesn't have a clue who the hell I am. So there's that. You know, last week, mechanical. This week, some on-track incidents. And let's talk about the post-race. I don't know if you haven't seen it. If you haven't, you've been living under a rock. So Kyle Busch in the bullpen post-race literally turned his back to the media and made I'll clean it up a little bit regarding the BS questions he was getting and asked if he was good to leave and all that good stuff. You know, so here's where I'm at with this. If this was 5 years ago, I would have been annoyed by those actions. I'm going to tell you why I am not annoyed by those actions now. Kyle Busch is probably the most competitive person in the garage across all three series. You know, a few years ago, I would have took how he responded personally. And now I realize that his reactions are based on the heart, and the passion that he has for the sport. And from that regard, I kind of see where he's coming from in it all. Add the fact that every sport needs the antagonist or the heel. Who doesn't love a good heel? So that said, I'm not upset over the situation at all. And I absolutely love the response from Garrett Smitley and Joey Gase. You know, retweeting over tweets about, you know, showing pictures of the cars they were in growing up and all that. I think that's awesome. It's drawing attention to them as well, which is something, you know, they probably don't get that much of from the racetrack. Not saying that in a negative perspective, but hey, they've gotten some extra positive attention. Probably got a bunch of new followers on social media. Who knows what that might do for them down the road. So from that regard, I loved this past weekend at Vegas. We had craziness Friday night with the trucks. We had a fuel mileage race on Saturday. And boom, well, we got drama in the cup playoffs. So, man, I'm sold. I'm good. I'm good with all of it. All right. Couple other things in the cup race. Watch out for Ryan Newman. Dude finished in the top 10. I will bet more dollars to donuts that Ryan Newman is going to find a way to point his way into the round of 12. Maybe not the round of 8, but I wouldn't be surprised if he makes it to the next round. Jimmy Johnson, solid P11, you know. I mean, that's a solid day for this team this year. That's a solid day. We may not like it. Jimmy Johnson fans may hate it. I get it. But based on the 27 races in, an 11th place finish for that team this year is a good finish. Harvick was strong all night. Didn't have the short run speed. Really didn't have the long run speed. Had a fast car, but the lengths of the runs did not help him. Finished second, but solid day for that team. Brad Keselowski struggle early on. Again, comers and goers got it dialed in for the third stage, finished P3, and a tough break for a few of the playoff guys. Kurt hit the wall. That did not end well for him. Eric Jones with some struggles. And Boyer, after starting strong, could not finish strong. Let's see. Unlike last week, where 30% of the race at Indy was ran under yellow, only four yellows this week for 22 laps. But that's pretty typical for a mile and a half track. So glad we did not have a repeat there. All right. One race into the playoffs. Kyle Busch has dropped from first to fourth after the reset. And now that the first race is done, not that I think there's anything to worry about. Dude's going to Homestead. Harvick up to second in the standings. Pretty confident now that dude's going to Homestead. Now here's where it gets interesting. Almirola in 12th at the cutoff line is only 6 points ahead of 13th Ryan Newman, who I said, I think he makes it to the next round. I think the big surprise under the cut line is Kurt Busch. I'll be honest, I'm not surprised with Boyer. Dude just has not been able to catch a break all year, and it's indicative on where he's at right now in the standings. You know, Eric Jones had some good races at the end of the regular season, but just didn't have the playoff points to overcome the bad race this weekend. And boom, last place right now. Very curious to see how things shake out this weekend for some Saturday night short track racing at Richmond. And it's race weekend. I can't wait to go get on a plane and go have some fun this weekend. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to hit some social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Subscribe, download, leave a review, all that good stuff. Don't forget about the 5,000 follower giveaway. Got that rear quarter panel off Eric Almirola's car back from the RPM days. Over to some new follower shout-outs. Mr. Checkered, @MCheckered, fan of all types of racing. That's awesome. Roger Bream, @TalkRacingTV, the producer of Let's Talk Racing TV. You can also check it out, racing or letstalkracing.tv. Maybe we should talk some racing. Lauren, @Lauren0921H, Justin Allgaier, fan from Greensboro. Game Day Tourist, @GameDayTourist, love documenting game day experiences. That's pretty cool. And Matt, @MattXCulp, C-U-L-B, a Harvick fan from Virginia. Welcome to the show. Maybe I'll see you at the track this weekend. Shout out to Toby Christie. Make sure you check out TobyChristie.com. You'll find the Lap Traffic Podcast there as well. Merch is on the website. Hit the store link there. $15 t-shirts with some awesome logo, color designs, all that good stuff. Got stickers and koozies. Sent some out this past weekend, which is awesome. And last but not least, go check out Big Heads Media. Got another awesome promo for one of the awesome podcasts you can hear on the Big Heads Media Network.
Stay up to date with the latest in Major League Baseball with the End of the Shift Baseball Podcast. Are you tired of the same old way baseball writers complain about the new changes in the game? Well, this is not the show for you. The End of the Shift Podcast with a modern take on what makes baseball great.
And the ball will be hit into the shift. If they get an out, it's only because of that shift. And they do! And that's why you follow the numbers.
Join co-hosts Max Gross and Kyle McArabey for weekly updates every Sunday night, or find us on Twitter at Into the Shift Pod. It's the Into the Shift Baseball Podcast.
All right, Into the Shift. I think that's an awesome podcast name. Unfortunately, you guys probably aren't doing a whole lot to talk about my Tigers unless it's talking about their 100 losing season with, I think, 14 games to go. Man, what a mess that team has become over the last couple years. Seems like everybody that's played for the Tigers has a championship ring, just not from the Detroit Tigers, but that's okay. So go check those guys out. That's awesome there. All right, business is done. Let's keep things rolling with a little silly season. All right, news broke today that Mr. Daniel Hemric is out at RCR after this year. Here's what sucks about that situation is that rookie year already to be cut, it is going to be difficult for him to find another ride, let alone a competitive ride. It's a bummer that RCR isn't able to keep him around. You know, probably could have, this is my opinion, obviously, right? Probably could have benefited from another year in the Xfinity Series, but opportunity presented itself. You're not going to say no to the guy you're already driving for in the Xfinity Series. No, I don't want to go run a cup race or a cup team. So obviously was going to make the move. Just a bummer that the resources weren't there for that team to be all that competitive. I think it's pretty obvious who's probably going to be getting that seat next year, but just unfortunate because, he had some good runs in the Xfinity Series. Obviously, learning curve rookie year in the Cup Series. It's a shame he can't at least get that sophomore year in there. But hopefully he will be able to land something. Maybe back in the Xfinity Series, who knows. But he's a good racer. He's got some talent, just needs some equipment. So curious to see what shakes out with RCR and Daniel Hemric as the silly season continues here as we wind down the playoffs here. All right. Let's queue up Mr. Brian Newdorf and see what the weather's going to be like for this weekend at Richmond. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line this week. Very excited because it's race weekend for me. So hopefully he's bringing some good news. You can follow him on Twitter at @NASCAR_WXMAN. Mr. Brian Newdorf, sir, good evening.
Good evening. You know, like I said, I'm still kind of butthurt that I had to tape and you had Cone on live. But you know what? I'll live.
Well, listen, as everybody knows, when Cone is on the show, he is not at a loss for words.
It's amazing. It's kind of like that Cheez-It wheel. How does it talk without a mouth? I don't get it.
That's funny. But no, yeah, it's so I had to kind of play defense there a little bit. You know, here's the thing. I need to figure out and do a little bit of homework over the off season as far as some of these shows that go an hour and a half, an hour 45, like how long do people actually listen? Because if people are listening, then I'm not going to care how long the show goes. But, you know, once I cross that 90-minute mark, that hour and 45-minute mark, like, all right, I probably need to dial this back a little bit. So
probably. You know, take it from a guy who's got a commute now, and I do about 30 minutes to my new job.
Right, yeah.
About 30 minutes, and then I'm pretty much done once I get to work. You can't fit me in to my commute, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some people I get, you know, can sit at their desk and put an earbud in, and they're good to go. Some people it's, you know, to and from, and you know, might have a different podcast on the way home. If I had to do 30 minutes, I couldn't do a 30 minute show. I'd do three a week if I did that. And my wife would kill
me
if I did three a week. So, all right, Matt, what first playoff race for the Cup? What'd you think of the racing this weekend at Vegas?
You know, it's good. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to confession time. Sunday evening. I had other things going on. I couldn't get chance. I watched near the end of the race. You know, I got a chance to watch a little bit of the end of the race, but it was a busy Sunday for the family. And the night before was marching band for a son. But I got the play by play. You know, I missed the
game.
You
went live on Facebook with that. I hopped in there for a minute during that. I remember that.
Yeah. I briefly got the highlights. Obviously, the big takeaway is, you know, Truex, you know, stamps his way. Right. It was Truex, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So all of a sudden I start doubting myself. No. And so Truex stamps his way. Some guys have some deficits to pick up, the typical first race stuff. And then, you know, my other big takeaway, obviously the thing anybody wants to talk about is Kyle Busch.
Sure.
You know, and I've been following the fodder on Facebook, the fodder, the fallout, whatever we want to call it. Here's my take. He's good for the sport. People are talking about Kyle Busch because he said something. Don't make him change. If you don't like him, great. Don't like him. Still watch the race because you don't like him. Cheer
Absolutely.
When he gets booted out.
Absolutely.
And if you love him, cheer him on. Okay. But if you don't like him, don't tell him to shut up. Okay. And from a media standpoint, we definitely don't want him to shut up.
No, God, no. It is he plays the heel so perfectly. He is a natural born heel. Anytime this type of, conversation comes up with Kyle Busch, I always bring up professional wrestling because it's like the perfect analogy. In that
it is.
You've got guys that, you know, throughout their career in wrestling will bounce back and forth between babyface and heel. And there are some guys that just need to be the heel. And
you know, I mean, listen, what the Intimidator, Dale Earnhardt. I mean, he wasn't exactly known for being the good guy.
Exactly. You know, the legacy.
But he's beloved in the sport.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, his legacy and you know, the sacrifice that he gave for the sport, you know, that built, mm-hmm. that built over time. Same thing with Jeff Gordon. People couldn't stand Jeff Gordon. Now, you know, he's retired. He's in the, you know, 95% of the NASCAR population loves Jeff Gordon. That wasn't the case when he was racing in his first.
I'm not sure how it is about Jimmy Johnson. I just think people, Jimmy's not winning anymore, so they love him now.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, and that's the thing. And I would bet dollars to donuts, you know, 20 years from now when Kyle Busch is full-time broadcaster, that he's a completely different person, and everybody loves him. So he is. I embrace and I'll be honest, I talked about this a little bit ago, before the podcast, before all that, as the true fan, you know, and not seeing things from the perspective that I do now, I had a different take, but my take has changed now, and it's 100% good for the sport.
To the fans who hate him, you can continue to do that.
Absolutely.
That's okay.
That's what you need.
But you know what? And I think here's the best thing is that the fans who hate him, most of the fans I see on Facebook who hate him, do not deny the guy is a on the wheel racer.
Absolutely.
All right.
And if you're that objective, you're already ahead of the game. So that's fantastic.
That's true. That's true. So my take, and from a former media guy, okay. I hear a lot of the things, because then what happens is the fans of Kyle blast the media for asking quote unquote stupid questions.
Right.
They're doing their job.
Sure.
Okay. If you know, they're doing their job. They have to get reaction. They have to print. He comes out, you know, the whole, I'm here not to get fined, you know, Marshawn Lynch thing. That was classic.
And you know what? They got something to print. He gave them something to print. He didn't want the questions anymore. So he gave them something else to print.
But he still kept answering. Yeah. He knew what he was doing.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with you. All right.
So anyways, that was my take. But you know what? Love him, hate him, love what he's doing for the sport. At least we're talking about it in the sport. There's some drama, especially for those who thought Vegas was a boring race. You have something to talk about until Richmond.
Absolutely. And speaking of Richmond, I'm excited to get on a plane and go to Richmond on Thursday.
Great track if you've not been.
I am not. I'm very excited.
It is to the people there at Richmond, they have been wonderful to the NASCAR weatherman. Highly, highly recommend it. I've been there at least twice.
Excellent. Excellent. No, I'm very excited. How is the weather looking? Is the curse upon me?
Let's just put it this way. Have you noticed? I don't think I'm just going to put this out there. Since I've joined the podcast, Aaron, no problems. Every time you've gone to the race, you've had good weather.
The Michigan June race was not in my favor.
That's right. That was I think I kicked it off then.
It was right around there. And then the Chicago
Then never
race.
Mind. Aaron, I love you. I was wrong. I was, you know, friendly competition, right. Co-opetition.
but the Michigan August race was good. So hopefully we can make it two in a row.
Your good streak continues. As of right now, there's no tropical systems. Too much. It's not hot, actually. 88 near 90, maybe for the daytime on Saturday. But for the evening, I'm expecting temperatures probably getting into the 80s and 70s during the race.
Excellent.
I mean, I've been there where it's drizzled. So I've had rain showers around every time I've been there. So, you know, you're having a better streak than I am.
Excellent. Well, I'll take it. And I am very excited to get to the track this weekend. Let's see, what else? Anything else you want to talk about? We got two minutes. If you got anything,
we got 2 minutes. You know what? I truly appreciate this. The new gig's going well. I'm talking about it, so I'm still doing NASCAR weather, and that's what I'm leaving it at. Other than that, you know, I think this is going to be a good the playoffs. I want to call it by the old names because I can never keep track of them. That's the only thing I wish NASCAR would do is just pick a name and stay with it. I'm tired of figuring out. You know, I'm still trying to figure out stage points. Okay, that's where I'm at.
You know, I like the chase, and then they tried to get to the naming the rounds, and that failed miserably. But I'm with you. I instinctively want to go to the chase versus playoffs.
One more take I wanted to have.
Yes.
Okay, and we talked about this off the air before we started recording. The one thing I will say, Kyle was wrong, and this is not a hate or love thing. The other drivers not in the playoffs, they have jobs to do.
Sure.
Jimmy Johnson's not in the playoffs. He wants to win.
Yep.
Everybody who's on the outside looking in, and especially later on, now when they get down to Homestead, I think the drivers will be mindful that you have four guys going for a championship, and they may drive differently at that point. But up until then, it's all that's why they race all the cars out there. Those cars aren't there to – so to say he needs to get out of the way or they don't know what they're doing, and to kind of ridicule that was kind of – you know, kind of – he was upset, and I get that, but still – those guys are out there. They need to be racing, and you gotta make. That's why they're there. If they were just gonna race the playoff cars, then that'd be one thing.
No, I'm with you 100% there. I couldn't agree with you more. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at @NASCAR_WXMAN. Sir, I will talk to you to set some up for next week.
All right, sounds good.
All right, man. We'll see ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, you guys know what barking dogs means. It is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know the drill. Tweet your picks at the end of the race, or you can call the waiver on hotline 248-965-9538, and I will tweet and play your calls back. All right, I'm going to get into my Lucky Dog of the race weekend. It's got to go to Tyler Ankrum. If not for all those engine issues with Thor, he does not make it. So Tyler Ankrum is getting my lucky dog. My lap down has to go to Grant Enfinger. Regular season truck champion is not advancing to the next round there, which is just horrible. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, lucky dog has to be the 19. No better way to start the playoffs. Lap down, Grant Enfinger. Terrible luck and lack of a regular season race win eliminates the most consistent driver of the year from the truck championship. 100%. Rich at Yunker Motorsports. Lucky dog, Brad Yunker, with an 11th place finish this week at Indy, which is absolutely awesome. The Lapped Traffic Podcast, Freddie the Pizza Man, Yunker Motorsports Chevrolet out on the track this weekend. It was awesome. They sent over to me the entry list, which had the Lap Traffic Podcast listed as a sponsor, which is just awesome. I got goosebumps when I saw that, and so awesome that Brad had an awesome day. You know, a few inconsistent starts this year, so be able to go out there and pick up an 11th place finish. That's awesome, guys. So awesome that you guys are getting that new late model dialed in there. Can't wait to see what happens next year. Mick at GoDucks 42 underscore Mix. Lucky dog Martin Truex Jr. started the playoffs right on the round. On to round two. Sorry there. Lap down. Boyer started on the pole and didn't even get a single stage point. Brutal day. Brutal day. Scott at 1985 Wagner's. Lucky dog Kyle Busch down two laps and back to the lead lap. Lap down, Kyle Busch lead lap and kills his aero playing bumper cars. Other guy's fault, of course. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie. Lucky dog Tyler Riddick capped off a great regular season winning the fuel strategy game. Lap down, Thor Sport Racing and Grant Enfinger. Three of their trucks having strange problems on Friday the 13th. And Enfinger, the regular season champ, no longer in the playoffs. Brett at B. Wayne, 85-89. Lucky dog goes to Martin Truex Jr. and his team and starting the playoffs with a win and advancing to the next round. Lap down, Kurt Busch for not getting that tire rub taken care of and blowing a tire, ending his day in the race and maybe the playoffs. John at Racing underscore 64. Lucky dog, Landon Castle, qualified Morgan Shepherd's car inside the top 10. Lap down, Thor Sport forgot oil works better when it stays inside the engine. That's a good one. I like that. And Mr. Andrew Kancian with a late submission. Lucky dog is Brad Keselowski for a huge rally. Lap down, he's giving it to himself, Mr. Andrew Kancian, for being really late in this and not calling and not being able to be the voice of the Rave Around Hotline. All right, those are your tweeted responses. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey there, Brandon. What's happening? Just got done with the race here at Las Vegas. Boy, it was a hot one. I learned something. You can tell people all you want, you know, drink your water, drink your fluids with electrolytes, and they still won't listen. I saw quite a few people just needing assistance today. So I want to remind all the race fans out there, please drink your water, drink electrolytes. Anyway, lucky dogs. I got to say Toyota. This season, I've gone to a few races, and Toyota's won every single one of them. So, lucky. So good job, Toyota. Lucky doggy to them. Lap down, it's got to be Eric Jones. Last year, he got in a wreck, finished last, didn't start off the first round very well. This year, had an issue, and didn't near finish last again. Got a hole to climb out of, and hope he gets out of it. I'm even born to go to the round of eight in my fantasy league. Anyway, have a good week. Talk to you later. Bye.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I don't know who that was, which I think is even funnier to this whole side of things. So that's awesome. But thank you for calling in. Make sure you call back again. I love it when people call right when they're leaving the race. I think that's awesome. That's so much fun. You can hear the energy in their voice. And hey, I told everybody last week, depending on your rookie status, you need a 1-2 ratio perhaps out there in the dry heat, right? It's a dry heat. It's hot. Make sure you stay hydrated. I love it. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I didn't see the Xfinity race, but I did watch both the truck race and the cup race. I enjoyed both, though for the truck race, I feel I got robbed of watching a good battle to advance to the next round between all the contenders, obviously because of that engine issue. So that was a little disappointing. I also enjoyed the cup race because of the ebb and the flow of guys starting out bad and overcoming and, you know, getting to the front again. Some started out good and fell back. Some went back and forth a few times. And I always feel that's exciting to watch in a race because it just adds an element of a big question mark. My lucky dog this week is going to go to Tyler Ankrum. He was able to run a steady, clean race and was able to take advantage of, unfortunately, the others' misfortunes. They did what they had to do to take care of themselves, and it got them to the next round, so good for them. My lap down has to go to the epic failure of the engines in that truck race. It was horrible in any situation, and it was magnified because of the playoff situation. That was just devastating to watch and heartbreaking for those guys and teams. So I don't know what they're going to do about it, but that was just awful to watch. Anywho, I know you're going to Richmond. I wish you safe travels. Have a great time, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling in. Really appreciate it. You and I are always on the same page on a lot of stuff. Our lucky dogs this week, of course, Tyler Ankrum. I know you're a big Tyler Ankrum fan as well. You know, and it's funny, as I was listening to that, playing it back, I was thinking to myself, like, all right, found Tyler Ankrum, but I'm strapping in. I'm like, all right, I need some help. And then as you see that help coming, is going through the race, I wonder how he didn't white knuckle the last, you know, 50 some laps there, knowing all he had to do was keep it clean and not let that get into your head, being such a young driver. Kudos to being able to hang on to it and advance into the next round of the playoffs. That's awesome. Kathleen, thank you for the safe travels. Can't wait to talk about it this week when I get back. All right. Oh, one more here on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Sherwin from the PETM podcast. I wanted to call in here and let you know how excited I was about the fact that we're going to be on your show next week. And I will say this. My lap down goes to all of the sissies on Twitter who are mad about Kyle Busch's interview. Like, go find a lake to jump in. Okay. My lucky dog is Martin Truex. Drove all the way from the mid-pack to win the race. Good for him. All right. Have a great show.
Oh, Mr. Andrew Sherwin, what's up, brother? Yes, very excited. Next week, long overdue. The PETM podcast, Rusty and Sherwin, will be on the Lap Traffic podcast next week. So that is going to be a fun time. Cannot wait for that for sure. And I agree. I'm with you on the whole, you know, man, everyone is just a little extra too sensitive out there on social media sometimes. Like, just enjoy it. Enjoy it for what it is. Enjoy social media for what it's supposed to be for. All right. That is going to do it for this week's A Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks, which means it is time for this week's fantasy segment. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, unfortunately, not able to get a hold of the current leader, but that's okay, because I'm excited to have Mr. Mick Rose, the man behind the email of the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Mick, what's up, man? How are you?
I am doing well. Glad to be on.
Absolutely. Glad to have you on. It's been a few since you've been on, so glad to have you. Let's start it off with what you think of the racing from this weekend.
I really enjoyed it. Actually, all three races were really good. Vegas, you know, sometimes you never know what you're going to get at a mile and a half, but they all three had different drama.
That's a perfect way to put it, Mick. That's the perfect way to put it. I didn't catch too much of the Xfinity race, but obviously dialed in Friday and Sunday night, and each race gave you something different. You know, Friday, just like weirdness of Friday the 13th. Saturday, a fuel mileage race, which is always fun. And then, you know, you had a cup race on Sunday that provided a pretty decent race.
Yeah, I always enjoy the cup race where, and normally it's tire fall off, but you just had comers and goers, you know, like at one moment you thought Logano was unbeatable, and then, you know, it just different guys hit it at different times, so it made it enjoyable.
Absolutely, I agree. You had guys try to split the stages up early on. Some different strategy late in the race as cautions came out, and like you said, comers and goers, which is, you know, pretty typical for a race that starts, you know, late afternoon into dusk evening hours there. And we got what we expected, and actually maybe more than we expected. So I enjoyed it.
Yep, I did not leave disappointed or
absolutely
turn off the TV disappointed.
I'm with you. All right, Mick. So this was the first week of the Lap Traffic playoffs. It's in the books. I'm glad you made the playoffs. At least someone's representing the Lap Traffic to some degree there. So just for everybody out there, most people that are not in the playoffs did not submit picks, which is totally understandable. So I'm only going to be updating on the website the picks of the playoff contenders and the playoff standings there. That said, nobody took Austin Hill in the Truck Series. Nobody took Martin Truex Jr. in the Cup, which surprised me considering as how it was a mile and a half track. And none of the playoff players, or I'm sorry, only four playoff players took Tyler Riddick. So that made for some interesting points and a shakeup, if you will. Week high was 161 points by Aaron Studwell and Brad Kearns and Crystal Smoke with their picks of Harvick, Bell, and Chastain, which ties the season high points earned by anybody. And that was set all the way back week two at Atlanta. It's taken almost the entire season for someone to tie week two at Atlanta, which is pretty crazy. Second week high was 149 with Chad Robb with his picks of Logano, Custer, and Ross. Mick, how did your picks do this week?
Well, not bad. I had Moffitt,
Reddick, and Larson here. Yeah.
And Larson.
Yes.
I think I was the only one to pick Larson. I gambled. Didn't do too horribly bad.
No, hey, you got to take a gamble with how the way the points end up shaking out. Mick, I'm glad you're on the line because, you know, we're going to have to shake things up a little bit for next year, sir.
Yes,
we'll make some changes for sure to keep it a little bit more interesting and You know, we've got to keep the MOATF podcast happy. They've been chirping all year that everybody just gets to pick the same. So we're going to have to fix that so that way they can't use that as the excuse next year.
They'll have a new one. I think they're already working on it.
I love it. And no surprise, they're in last place. So I'm going to hit everybody with the standings here real quick. Brad Carnes is our current leader with 170. Right behind him, 2 points back, Aaron Studwell with 168. Crystal Smoke in third. John Entwistle in fourth. Matt Crowd in fifth. Chad Robb in sixth. Paul Hollenbeck in seventh. Ted Anderson in eighth. David James in ninth. Mick Rose in 10th. Greg Whited, 11th. Jess Rose, 12th. David Mullins, 13th. Rod Keplinger, 14th. Michael Elliott, 15th. And the MOATF podcast wraps out the top 16. Pretty big point differential there as well. With the exception of a few, I think we can write off the MOATF podcast, Mick. I don't think I'm going out on a limb. They're not making it to the next round.
I don't think this happened.
I'm with you. All right, man. Are you ready to make some picks for this week?
I am ready.
All right, let's do it. Lap Traffic Nation, we are headed for some short track Saturday night racing in Richmond for race number two of the Cup playoffs and some interesting trends to look at here. Race winner this past weekend, Martin Truex Jr., who ended a 10-race winless streak, also picked up the win at Richmond in the spring. And last year's playoff winner at Richmond also swept last year in the spring race as well, and that was Mr. Kyle Busch. Toyota has won 6 of the last 8 races at Richmond. The JGR cars are going to be a good pick this weekend, and some Fords might not be bad picks either. Kevin Harvick and Joey Logano each have 3 top 5s in a row at Richmond. They will be pretty solid this week, and both had pretty good weeks this past weekend at Vegas. Wouldn't be surprised to see either of those two in victory lane. Let's get to some picks. No trucks for a while. I'm heartbroken over that. But, Mick, who do you have for the Xfinity Series race this weekend?
I am going with Cole Custer.
Cole Custer. Mick, I don't know if this is going to be good news or bad news, but Cole Custer is also my pick for this weekend. So I'm gonna allow a loophole if you want to make a change after we're done here. Tweet it out and just make it public knowledge so that I don't jinx you for the Lap Traffic playoffs.
Nope, I'm going to roll with it.
I love it. All right. Who do you have for the Cup race, sir?
I'm going with Kyle Busch. I figure he's going to rebound.
He's got to. 2 bad weeks in a row. It's Kyle Busch is going to come out with a vengeance this week. And since I am going to the race, you know I'm going to homer out Kevin Harvick for the win.
Well, that is excellent.
I love it. All right, Mick, thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for all the work you do with the podcast, Fantasy League there. I truly appreciate you. Good luck, and hope you advance in the Lap Traffic playoffs.
I hope I do, too. Remember, you're sending out the – you're doing the updates this week. I'll be out this week.
I will definitely do the updates this week. Yes, so be on the look for them. I fly back on Monday, so sometime Monday I'll have those updates done. All right, sir, have fun, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, talk to you.
All right, we'll see you.
Yep.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 150 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, review the show, all that good stuff. Don't forget about the contest giveaway. Big thanks to Christian Eckes, Brian Newdorf, and Mick Rose for calling into the show. Next week, Rusty and Sherwin from the PETM Podcast. Make sure you check out their show from this week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm going to Richmond. See ya!